Silva stuck his head out of the door, then came over to us. I made introductions. He unlocked the van. I saw Truly wince when the smell hit her. He reached under the bed, back toward the wheel well, and emerged with a bottle of whiskey in hand. Took a long swig and passed it to me. I had a smaller sip, just enough to feel the burn in my throat, the lazy singer's warm-up. Truly followed my lead.
Promise you'll give me pointers if I manage to get a van?
I promised. The kid wasn't just like me. She practically was me, with the misfortune to have been born 20 years too late to possibly make it work. I made Silva tap phones with her.
I would do it myself, but I know, she said. I'd be non-com if I could, but my parents won't let me. Emergencies and all that.
Did we play extra well, or did it just feel like it? Moby K. Dick had helped. It was always nice to be reminded that what you did mattered. I had a mental buzz, even with only a sip of whiskey. The combination of music and possibilities and an enthusiastic crowd eager to take whatever we gave them. On a good night like this, when we locked in with each other, it was like I was a time traveler for an hour. Every night we'd ever played a song overlapped with every night we'd ever play it again, even though I was fully in the moment. My fingers made shapes, ran steel strings over magnets, ran signals through wires to the amplifier behind me, which blasted those shapes back over me in waves. Glorious, cathartic, bone-deep noise. On stage, I forgot how long I'd been doing this. I could still be the kid playing in her parents' basement, or the young woman with the hit single and the major label, the one called the next Joan Jett, the second coming of Riot Girl. Not that I wanted to be the young version of me anymore. I had to work to remember that if I slid on my knees, I might not get up again. I was a better guitar player now, a better singer, a better songwriter. I had years of righteous rage.